We've looked at what home education can do for the Christian family, for the children, and for the parents. Let's devote this session to thinking about what home education can do for American society as a whole. It goes without saying that home education is the oldest form of education in America. The one-room schoolhouses were very early established in America. Harvard University was established 16 years after the first permanent settlement in American civilization. So formal schooling is part of the American tradition as well, but homeschooling is probably the oldest form of education in American society. It's unquestionably, during the first 100 years or so of American society, by far and away the most extensive form of learning, and by homeschooling there we might include tutoring in one's neighbor's kitchen or something along those lines. But it's something which has so much gone into an eclipse that the resurgent movement in home education is currently taking a lot of people by surprise. It sounds like a very strange concept. Most people think, well, it's illegal, or it's bad for the kids, it's immoral, it's whatever, simply because we've gotten away from it for so long, except for some very shall we say, minor little fringe groups, that for mainstream America to rethink homeschooling is going to involve a lot of rethinking if we're going to think about it favorably. Let's consider some of the benefits that homeschooling would mean to the American society as it grows and as it continues to prosper. Our first point here is the exact same first point that we discussed when we were discussing the benefits of home education for both children and for parents. It strengthens the family unit. And that has far-reaching implications, obviously, upon American civilization. To whatever extent the Christian family can be strengthened, to whatever extent the family unit can demonstrate real family unity, to that extent, American civilization, American society is strengthened. You can't have a strong and a prosperous society without strong, prosperous families. We all know the horrendous statistics about family breakups and divorce and this, that, and the other sort of thing in American civilization today. We don't need to dwell on those things. What we need to dwell on is how to reestablish the family as the central institution in society. As we said earlier, if we simply think of the family as the place where we sleep, the home is simply the place where we sleep and where we eat a few meals and where we park our cars or our bicycles or something like that before we go our separate ways, that, even if that family quote-unquote sticks together, that's not a strong family. That's not a family that has bonds. That's not a family that is a shelter in the time of storm. That's not a family which passes on legacy from generation to generation. For America to be a strong, prosperous society, we need strong, prosperous families. And what better way to develop a unity, a commitment, a bond amongst the family members than to have the responsibility and the joy of teaching each other, of fulfilling obligations to each other, and so on. There is in no way, shape, or form that home education cannot help but to strengthen a family. And by strengthening families, we're strengthening American civilization. Another benefit to American society is to return to the American heritage, which produced an unbelievably high rate of literacy. American society had far and away the highest rate of literacy that any society in the history of the world had ever seen. And even when there was much formal education back during in colonial America and during the time of the early republic, reading literacy was very seldom taught in the schools. By the time Johnny or Sally would be going to school, they already learned how to read at mom's knee, and they were going to advance their knowledge of history and of mathematics and of composition and whatnot. But very seldom in the early colonial one-room schoolhouses and the schools of the early republic was reading taught as a subject, except to in maybe very rare instances to children who are orphans or something along those lines, but almost all American children learned how to read from mom and dad using the multitude of primers and readers that were available, the most notable after the mid-1800s, naturally being the McGuffeys. But there were scores and scores and scores of readers and primers before the McGuffeys that made America a literate nation. Those children who learned how to read were home-taught children, because they learned how to read very simply, without remedial readers, without Dick and Jane and Spot, simply because mom and dad spent a little time to phonetically teach them how to read. I can't conceive of a homeschooling child, a child that's been taught at home for 12 years, getting his quote-unquote high school diploma, and then turning around and suing his parents because during the 12 years that he was at home, he was never taught to read, like a lot of our current high school graduates are. Our California newspapers are actually always full of students who have graduated from the Los Angeles City school system or any of the larger cities. C average all the way through, high school diploma and whatnot, who literally are functionally illiterate. That can't happen in a homeschooling situation. You won't have any homeschooling first graders that are illiterate, let alone 12th graders. So by returning to this aspect of our heritage, we can put a big dent in that rate of illiteracy that is currently plaguing our society as well. Another benefit of home education. It is growing right now, and it is growing phenomenally. I have absolutely no idea the number of people nationwide who are actually doing this. Among the leaders in the homeschooling movement, there's a wide disparity there in terms of who thinks how many students are presently doing what. You'll see a few estimates that place it in the low six-digit numbers, a few hundred thousand maybe nationwide that are doing it. A few experts are guesstimating it at maybe 3 or 4 million students nationwide. One of the benefits is the fact that we don't have any idea really of how many people are involved in homeschooling is that you can't keep track of it. It's an individual, it's an autonomous thing, and that's my point. Literally hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people nationwide are resisting the state education monopoly, resisting statism, resisting humanism, resisting the gobbledygook that goes on at your average governmentally controlled school, and are teaching their children free from all of the nonsense that goes on within the educational monopoly. That means that there are a lot of parents in this country that are willing to stand up against a very, very strong and a very, very entrenched monopoly system and say, no, you will not have my children. Now, your local $19,000 a year bureaucrat doesn't like that sort of a thing, the truant officers that are always harassing the homeschooling families and whatnot. But those folks are good for American society. Because any society needs people who will not submit to tyranny, lest that society becomes a tyranny. And these hundreds of thousands or millions or whatever it is they are, parents who are rejecting and resisting the tyranny of the mind which the government schools represent, those people are good for American society. They're good for a free America. They may not be good for the kind of America that some of our politicians envision, but for those people that still have a vision of a free America, an American republic, functioning under the Constitution of the United States, where men and women live as free and self-governing citizens under God, then those stubborn folks who are home educating their children are a blessing and a boon to American society. Another benefit of home education, a very obvious one, it allows mom and dad to regain control of the development, the intellectual development of their children. Schools are not just given to intellectual development anymore. To be sarcastic, very few schools produce any intellectual development anymore, public schools at least. The formal goal of most of public education now is not the so-called cognitive domain of knowledge, it's the affective domain of values and responding and feeling and emotions and whatnot. Personally, I do not like the idea that we have a government monopoly which is given over to redefining my goals, my values and my feelings and my emotions and whatnot. To be perfectly honest, I don't think that's any of the government's business. But to be perfectly honest, it's good for America that we've reclaimed our children, that we've said, no, our children are not wards of the state. Our children are the children of God. God has delegated their nurture to us, and we are going to take that responsibility into our hands to regain the control of the education of our children by Christian parent is perhaps the first step necessary for a real and true revival to take place. Our churches can start preaching marvelously again. Our mission societies can start evangelizing marvelously again, etc., etc., all the way down the line. But until Christian parents stand up and say, we take the responsibility that we abdicated for the nurture and development of our children, we will be assisted by our ecclesiastical leaders, we will be assisted by people whom we may want to voluntarily hire to assist us in this task, but the primary responsibility is once again upon our shoulders, and we're going to lead the way. That's the start of a great American Reformation. Another benefit of home education for American society, it's an example of voluntarism in action. It's an example of people not turning over to the state tremendously important responsibilities, but simply saying to the state, no, thank you. This is none of your business. We do not want you involved in this business. We will not participate in your activities in this business. We will do it ourselves. That's the American spirit, and that's also the biblical mandate as well, because the Bible nowhere gives the state any rights to be involved in the education of children. Voluntarism, tremendously important concept for any free society. The Soviet Union does not like it. You cannot tithe in the Soviet Union. If someone in your neighborhood needs help, that help has to be administered to him through a bureaucracy. Help cannot come through the private voluntary help of private voluntary citizens, because that's a no-no in any totalitarian or tyranny situation. The fact that in America, even though there's some harassment and whatnot, we can still voluntarily do this is evidence that God has not totally turned his back on us. And may we continue to grow and to prosper in this area. Another benefit of home education, its very presence is evidence of a free society. I know there's a lot of harassment. I know from town to town, from county to county, from school district to school district, there's varying levels of persecution and harassment and so on and so forth. But as I said, to be perfectly blunt, there's anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of parents nationwide that are doing this. And that's an evidence that there's still a lot of freedom in this society. There's a lot of bureaucrats, there's a lot of messianic bureaucrats out there that want to close them down. But by the grace of God, they're not able to do that. Homeschools allow true academic freedom. Now, I know that expression is bantered around a lot nowadays, and it's usually used against institutions that want to maintain a strong Christian commitment. It's usually used by American Civil Liberties Union or whatever when they're suing Bob Jones University or Oral Roberts University or some such place for firing or never hiring some atheist or evolutionist or humanist or abortionist to serve on their faculties because because they didn't want those kind of people around, and somebody screaming bloody murder. Well, this is a violation of the principle of academic freedom. Academic freedom is not a license to study and to propagate evil. Academic freedom simply means the freedom of the academy. And that, even though the American Civil Liberties Union will probably never argue a case from that perspective, home schools are the perfect example of academic freedom. The freedom of the academy. The freedom of the home, excuse me, the home to be the basic academy, the basic place of learning in Johnny and Sally's little life. Isn't that a marvelous thing that we can take this concept that's always used against Christian schools and try to turn it around and use it against our opponents, those people who do not like what we stand for? True academic freedom means the freedom of the academy. And each home should be an academy. And each home should function as a teaching institution, freely under God, teaching each subject Christianly, biblically, godly, in a godly manner. Then we've got true academic freedom. Quality education is true education. Quality education is not contingent upon the number of test tubes we have in our laboratory. It is not contingent upon the number of little athletic gadgets that we have in our gymnasium. It is not contingent upon the number of silly little workbooks published by the National Education Association or whatever. Quality education is true education. And the simple homeschool, which consists of a desk in a corner and a lot of good books, is infinitely superior to all of these fancy little things paid for at taxpayers' expense, this little gizmo and that little gadget and this little gimmick or whatever. Those things do not constitute quality education. Quality education is education in truth. And the truth can be ascertained sitting on the end of a log with a book. It probably is much better ascertained sitting on the end of a log with a book than it is with some silly teaching machine or whatever. Every child that's involved in Christian home education, that is a challenge and a rebuke to the dominant humanism of the day, the religion of humanism. Humanism is naturally the established religion of America today, because it is taught in the only established church in America today, the public school system. Every child that's removed from the influences of humanism through Christian schools or through Christian homeschools challenges the right of humanism to be the religion of America. No such thing as neutrality. Every society is always going to have some formally established religion. When American civilization was started, the formally established religion of America was Christianity. Various states had various state churches. The various Trinitarian denominations functioned as state churches in many of the original colonies. Many of the original state constitutions required a person to be a believer in Jesus Christ for full citizenship, for voting rights, and so on and so forth. When Christians started to retreat, we abdicated, we, over a period of time, allowed humanism to become the established religion of America. Every student that's in a Christian home school or a Christian day school challenges the formal religion of Christianity. Every student that's learning things Christianly in a home school or a Christian day school is one little soldier being prepared for the army that is ultimately going to disestablish humanism as the formal state religion in America today. Humanism worldwide is collapsing. It is not going to succeed. It is not going to prosper. It is going to fall apart. And one of the things that's going to assist it on its way is the Christian school movement, which is currently blossoming in America today. And to whatever extent we can form homeschools and be the direct teachers, the direct formers of the minds of our children. To that extent, we're going to speed the process of the disillusion of humanism in America and the reestablishment of Christianity in America. We can say with Joshua, for me and my house, and the little school that functions in my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to be a little piece of territory that is not surrendered to Satan, and we're going to be a little outpost, and we're going to expand the borders of our tents here and move out and conquer a little more ground day by day until the knowledge of God covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. We don't want to sound like we're disloyal to American society by promoting homeschooling. We are definitely disloyal to the American public school system, and that is as it should be, because the American public school system demands no loyalty. But we do stand for the principles of early America, and we do want to see those principles reestablished in modern America. We do love this society, and we have to oppose some of the things that this society presently stands for, such as public education, because we want to see the rebirth, we want to see the renovation of this society again. Scripturally, we're commanded to render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. And that's as it should be. There's still much in this society that we can love and that we can be proud of. And so for all of those things that the American local government and state government and federal government, all branches of civil government, in those areas where Caesar, civil government, legitimately functions, in those areas we readily and we thankfully render our taxes and our obedience, our submission. But one of the, if not the most precious commodity that we have is our children. God says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render to God the things that are God's. And we do our society a favor by reminding it. And homeschooling children remind their society every day that child does not walk out the door and head to a public school. That family makes a declaration that we will render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, but our children belong to God, and we will render our children only unto God, not unto Caesar. When Caesar goes a little crazy and he starts overstepping his boundaries, Caesar may not like that declaration. But Caesar needs to hear it, because it's the truth. And the truth leads men to repentance. And so every child sitting inside his little home school at his little desk with his little set of books, every parent that will not let that little Johnny or that little Sally go marching out the door to the local Bail public school, that parent is doing a little bit to restore the nature of American civilization. Because that parent has said, no, Caesar, these little ones, our little Johnnies and Sallies, did not come from you. They do not belong to you, and they will not serve you as a god. They will live within you as loyal and faithful citizens, but they will not serve you as a god. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.